Amen. Thank you so much, all three of you. Thank you. Let's pray, shall we? Our Father, we thank you for this tremendous passage in front of us today about the shepherd. And I pray that you would allow it to speak to all of our hearts. It's very convicting to me to see this text. I pray it would convict the people of God as well, as everyone here is a shepherd in some dimension of life. Thank you for our visitors. Lord, that they would find themselves in the house of God today. In every section we have visitors. We're grateful. And I thank you for our friends that are watching online in the countries around the world, listening on the radio. We thank you today, God, for the faithful people that sit in these pews. Now I pray that the Spirit of God would now convict and convince. I pray that every person would determine that I'm willing to make a decision today. I'm willing to decide for right and righteousness, and to be a good shepherd in that which you've entrusted to my care. Help us to recognize everyone here in this room is a shepherd. Help me especially to see it, for that's my name. A pastor is a shepherd. Bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. A shepherd is one that feeds, he tends, he cares for the flock. As I prayed, I truly believe that everyone in this room is a shepherd. There's some area you're a shepherd. You're a parent. That means you're a shepherd. You have a responsibility to bring those children into adulthood. You're a shepherd. You're an aunt. You're a shepherd to your niece or your nephew. You're a grandparent. You're a shepherd. You're a school teacher. You're a Sunday school teacher. You're a bus worker. You're an older sibling. You're maybe, in some cases, the younger sibling directs the family. But somewhere along the line, all of our lives influence somebody. I believe you'd have to say amen to that. It's true. Everybody influences someone. I'm a shepherd. The word pastor is a Greek word, poimen, which simply means shepherd. I'm a shepherd to the flock. In these 10 verses, we read the word shepherd 12 times, but that is not exhaustive. As you continue the text, you'll see that he talks about the sheep and the shepherd. The sheep and the shepherd. Would you right now visualize in your mind, who do you shepherd? You're in the dining hall, you're shepherding the work people that work for you and the students that come through the line and are fed from your meals, breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You work in the internet. Right now we have about 110 countries that are watching. And those 110 countries, whoever's doing the internet, I have no idea how to do it, and the radio, they are shepherding people around the world. They need to be alert. They need to do it right. They need to realize, and they do, that their ministry is vital. We have a school principal here, our principal right there, and another leader and principal here, and we have teachers here, and we have authority here. You're a shepherd. We have police officers here. You're a shepherd. You shepherd the streets of the city that you patrol. We're all shepherds. We're a shepherd to our neighborhood. I feel like when the police knocked on my door this morning, this past week, I'm glad they realized there was a shepherd that lived in that neighborhood. No one had to call them and say, by the way, pastor lives. They said, is your pastor over here at North Valley? And immediately they said, we'll go to his house and knock on the door. I want to be known as the shepherd. It's not that it needs a limelight position. I want this area to know there's a shepherd that will watch for their souls. They came to my office, an architect, a few months ago. They're going to put several $1 million in the park next door. They said, what's the first thing you want to see in there? I looked at the window. I said, the first thing is I want a huge fence around that public school next door. We don't have children over there. We have our own school. But I said, those kids are in our neighborhood and they're unprotected. Anybody can walk in there at any time and injure their life. That's the first place I want you to spend money. It has no bearing on us, but it has bearing on the sheep of this neighborhood. I was driving my car. Oh, this happened probably, I'm going to guess, 10 years ago, maybe a little less. And I came across around the corner of De La Cruz to Greenwood. And there's a fence there, as you just a few blocks down. And there's a fence of a neighbor. And on that fence was a possum. And I saw these little kids, maybe first graders, second graders, throwing rocks at the possum. not a bright idea. And I stopped my car in the middle of the street, opened the door, and I said, kids, real carefully, be very careful. Back off away from that animal. I don't want him to attack you. Right then, unbeknownst to me, a motorcycle policeman came right around the corner. My door was open. I'm talking in a tie with these kids, trying to, he thought, lure them into my car. You've got to be kidding me. He must have met a new officer. I didn't know him. And he said, what are you doing? And I said, sir, on that fence, there's a possum right now. And these kids are throwing rocks. I'm just trying to make sure. Oh, kids, don't do that. He about lost it, I think. I'm a shepherd to this neighborhood. You're a shepherd to your neighborhood. Today I want to see two shepherds. The first one very briefly, almost by way of introduction. The second one a little bit more lengthy. I would say, don't worry, I'd say probably a 2-3 hour message today. If you give me that time, visitors, don't worry, it will not be 2 or 3 hours. I promise you, it'll be a few moments. I find there's a unfaithful shepherd and a faithful shepherd. Just by way of introduction, let's look at that unfaithful shepherd. The unfaithful shepherd, look at the latter part of verse 2. Woe to the shepherd of Israel that do feed themselves. Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? That statement occurs over and over. We find it in verse number 8, the latter part of the verse. The shepherds fed themselves and fed not my flock. Look at verse number 10, the latter part of it. These shepherds feed themselves. Look at verse number 27. The Bible says of these shepherds, those that served, the latter part of the verse, they that served themselves. An unfaithful shepherd feeds himself. But you don't understand. I don't have time for my kids like I should, but those sheep are going to have to wander because I'm a Warriors fan. I'm a sports fan. And I just don't have time for those kids. I've got time for my sports. I'm a fisherman. I like going fishing. I'm a hunter. I'm a this. I'm a that. You don't understand, Mama. I'm climbing the corporate ladder. And I want to achieve this level. I'm always amazed when people, and so many of you have traveled so much, you know it's not all that it's cracked up to be. People, they'll say to me on their first flight, and some of you made this flight, so, yeah, I'm on a business trip. Going to China. Brother Brandon, I see you. You've been to China so much, it gets very old very fast. Yeah, I'm on a business trip. They're keeping me in a nice hotel. One hotel. If I would never have to stay in a hotel again, it's enough for me. If I never had to fly another flight again, it's enough for me. I tell you what, God has given me the privilege to feed your little sheep. Dad, are you reading the Bible to your kids? Are you praying every night with your children? Are you listening? God gave two ears, one mouth. He wants us to listen more than we lecture. Are you listening to your kids? Are you listening with your eyes and watching with your eyes so you can hear what they're doing and see what they're doing? The unfaithful shepherd feeds himself. It's all about me. No, it's not. It's not about you. It's about your flock. I find the unfaithful shepherd is selfish. Selfish. He's neglectful. Verse 6, my sheep wander. If you don't think we have, what are they looking for? They're looking for meat. They're looking for food. They're looking for sustenance. If you cannot see that we have a generation of young people on the streets of our city that are just wandering around doing nothing, then your eyes are closed. Go to any bus stop, county bus stop, public school bus stop. Go to any mall, and I've not been there for I don't know when. I don't think we even went last year at all. I hope we did. We don't like them. You can go if you want. It's not. I got off on a subject. I shouldn't have got off on that. I don't like them all. My wife doesn't like the wall. Thank God for that. It's maybe because they don't cater to people like us, they cater to teenagers. But if you don't think these kids are hungry, then your eyes are blind. You've never been, as Brother Luke mentioned, then on a bus ride, have you? These kids are running to the beat of their own drum. Dads are absent. Mothers are absent. Sometimes a mother's there, or a grandmother's there, someone trying to keep some order to the home. Meals are not structured. There's such a thing called breakfast, lunch, and dinner. North Carolina kids, we have lunch here. We don't have dinner twice in the day. I know you think it's supper. Haven't you heard that great, great hymn of the faith? Come home, come home, it's dinner time. The great dinner of the Lamb, or the great supper of the Lamb. You'll figure that out. My heart aches for our generation of children. I just ache when I see these kids. But we don't need to spend time with the unfaithful shepherd. A faithful shepherd does something. Dad, you're a shepherd. Mother, you're a shepherd. School teacher, you're a shepherd. Neighbors, you're shepherds. Co-workers, you're a shepherd. To the flock, the people that you work with, do they know that you know God? Do you know that in the trial, I think of some of our people here, you've worked a job a long time, and though you're not hammering, you're working at your job when you work, you're not sowing on company time, you're working your job, but you watch, and it's happened so many times in this church, when there's a crisis in a man or a woman's life, you know where they go? They go to the guy they make fun of, hey, preacher, and they make fun of you by calling you the preacher, or they gave you a nickname, the preacher, or the deacon, or Miss Holy Roller, and you know, they don't mean it, that's just who you are. But guess where they go when they have a mother that's dying, or a dad that's dying, or a son that committed suicide, and on it goes. They go to the one at the work. They go to the drug dealers at work. They go to the people that pass the drugs. No, they go to the preacher. And I'm a living testimony, having heard through the years so many of our people that said God brought someone in my path because they had a sorrow, and they said, we know we could talk to you. You can pray for us. You're a shepherd. So, I'm not a shepherd. Then there's no reason for your existence. And there is a reason. God has created every person here for a reason. And because you cannot determine who you're supposed to shepherd, you better figure it out real fast. Wonder how many of you really God gifted you a salvation to be a teacher, a Sunday school teacher. You know how to take the Word of God and open it up and come alive. I truly believe, Jacqueline, up there, I remember the day you were born. And as far as I know, today you've been a teacher in training. You're up there somewhere. And I know that today the teacher sat and you taught the lesson. Man, I tell you, that thrilled my heart. I wouldn't doubt if God gifted her salvation to be a one to transfer truth. Why don't you teach? Well, I don't have time for it. Yeah, you feed yourselves. To me, this is where the rubber meets the road today. I want you to see the good shepherd, the faithful shepherd. The faithful shepherd is always seeking and searching for the flock. Verse 11, would you read it with me, please? Verse 11, ready, begin. For thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm going to search for my sheep and I'm going to seek my sheep. Not the same word. Search. I'm going to go search. I'm going to go look carefully. I'm going to look carefully. In this church, I've advised our parents and we've got our high school seniors down here and juniors, and I see teenagers throughout the front here. And you might be sitting with your parents. That's okay. But I said, parents, if your kids are up in the balcony and you're on the lower floor, you cannot search for your sheep. You have no idea what they're doing up there. A parent, if you're not going to sit with your child, always ought to have them in front of you so you can keep your eye on what they're doing. I wouldn't take them home and say, boy, you weren't listening. You never listened to that. You didn't even turn your head. No. Don't become the gospel agent, but you watch. And before you necessarily go to that child, spend the next week in prayer and say, God, please cause my son to want to open up his Bible. Please work on my son's heart. And in time, as you continue to search, you might say, son, I'm realizing, daughter, I'm realizing you're not moving in the Bible. You're not studying the Bible in church. You're not paying attention. What can I help you with? What is it, son? And your son might give you an answer like, church is boring. Your answer should not be, well, I knew you were a heathen. You might want to agree with your adversary. Say, there were times in my life it was boring too, son. Don't you remember being a teenager? I don't preach long. I think they timed it here not long ago for several months at about 28 minutes. They said you're averaging. Today it's going to be 3 hours, but don't worry about today. I grew up not far from here. My pastor was such a great friend, a great man of God. He's with the Lord. We didn't have amens in our church and all that. He just spoke for about an hour and 15 minutes. Rarely an illustration, just teaching the Bible. Now I'd sit there as a teenager. My eyes were rolling back in the back of my head, and I wasn't taking it in either. And when he said at the invitation, let every head be bowed and every eye closed. You know that rail in the pew right in front of you, what that's for? That's to put your forehead on it. And I said, now, Lord, help me to pray a long prayer. I tell you what, Brother Steve, I was zoned on that. I'd almost fall asleep. I know I should have. Well, weren't you marking your Bible? I was having a hard time staying awake. Be careful with your kids. Dad, watch your kids. You search, you're watching carefully who they're hanging with. For he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Blessed is a man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Your kids start hanging around scorners, they'll become a scorner. And here the Bible says the good shepherd is searching. He's investigating. He's watching. He goes in our school. We have you can go online and look at the child's behavioral report or his grade report, and you can get information about the school, and you can see what's happening. I'm not sure. It's been so long. I think you get homework assignments, if I'm not mistaken, online. So our kids, we know what's going on. Mother and Dad, that's what you're doing. You're searching. Sunday school teacher, we're searching. We're investigating. We've got our eyes open. But he says the word, not only is a good shepherd search, a good shepherd seeks. What's that mean in verse, that same verse? And there's other verses we can look at, but verse number 11 and 12 and 16, he says that he will seek them out as a shepherd seeketh out the flock. What does that mean to seek? Well, the Son of Man, Luke 19:10, came to seek and to save. What does it mean to seek? It means desire. It means passion in the heart. Oh, I have. God gave my sweet wife and I 3 kids. They're grown. They're adults. They're serving God. We have 13 grandkids. And I tell you, our hearts are on those kids all the time because we sought after them. What are you seeking today? God's word says, seek ye. What's the word? Seek ye the kingdom of God. Dad, you have children. You don't have time to seek and put your desire on a lot of other items. It's all about those kids. You're married. It's all about that wife. You're married. It's all about that husband. Say, well, I just want to go out with the girls. You should have done that before you got married. Well, I'm taking a 7-day vacation with all my girlfriends. The husbands are staying home to watch the kids. Where in the world did we get that dumb idea? Should have thought of that before you had kids. And I know you don't agree with me, but I thought I'd get off my chest anyway. Your parent. It's wearing. Duh. Don't you remember how you were? There I go with Greek words again. Duh. The Bible says that a good shepherd, that's called parenting. You're seeking. It's your desire. Isn't your desire constantly on your marriage? I'm certain to have to be. I want my seeking, my heart, my desire on my wife. I want it, yes, on the children and grandchildren. I want it on the Great North Valley Baptist Church. We're singing. I don't know. I do it every time so you can catch it every time. When we're singing that first song, I'm singing like this and smiling and singing, and I'm going through the house. And I take my time, and I go through the sections, and I'm taking the roll. Why? And Larry, you're sitting in the wrong spot today. I don't know why you and Tina are sitting there, but get back to your regular spot. So I'm accustomed to where he sleeps. But nonetheless, I'm looking for people that are missing. I think, where are they? That's what a shepherd does. He searches. He seeks. This is, I won't get you all, but I've been seeking where you are. My heart's on you. Somehow you got up and you got ready and you came to church, and how difficult that must have been. I'm one, I don't like going to churches as a visitor that I don't know anybody. We'd be on vacation, we walk in and you feel awkward. Where's the auditorium? How do we get there? Where can I sit toward the back? And that's me. I find not only does a shepherd search and he seeks, he sustains the flock. Verse 14, I will feed the good pasture. I will feed them in good pasture. Verse 15, I will feed the flock. Verse 23, the Bible says, I will set up the shepherd. He shall feed them. Mothers and dads and Sunday school teachers, feed them. We nourish the hearts and the minds and the eyes of these kids with nothing but violence. I don't know all about video games, and I know you're going to tell me, well, there's football video games. I know, so don't correct me. I know there has to be some, I guess. But every time I see any video game going at a golf land or at a this place or this place, it seems like everybody's blowing everybody up, and everybody's got to kill somebody. It's all got to be about how I can plant this bomb here and blow up somebody and kill somebody and invade this place and get out here and smash this and kill this and destroy this. Maybe I'm all wrong. Maybe they're teaching the books of the Bible. I don't know. Mother and dads, why would you give yourselves to that? Why would you spend the money to give that to your kids? You know, it's an amazing thing, honey, we talk about it. What's amazing for me, help me with this. I bought my wife an iPhone a couple of years ago. You can get four for this price. I know that. But aren't cell phones about $500? Am I way off? Up? Thank you. But let's say $500. How in the world did your 11-year-old son get $500? And it's against the law for him to work till he's 16. How did that kid get $500? And he also has a computer in his room. And how in the world did he get the computer? I don't know what a computer costs. Never bought one before. But are they $800, $1,000? I don't know what. How do you get $1,000? And how do you get all those games? And how do you get connected to the internet? Mothers and dads, ladies and gentlemen, are we thinking? Why would you arm a teenager with a cell phone? I guarantee it. He's going to destroy his life. I'm 100% right on that. How do you think I turned this way 42 years here? By pleading with people, don't! And then I try to help them when they did. Your child cannot control an iPhone with the internet. What part of this don't we understand? They're not God. Well, I don't trust. You're saying you don't trust your kids? Absolutely not. You know, it's like that preacher you said, it's not that we don't trust them, it's that we don't trust them. Because we know their moms and dads who we are. Make no provision for the flesh. I see these kids everywhere, all over our area and around the nation. I see them on airplanes. I see them all the time. They have every little gadget that they've never worked for. Kids don't need all the electronics. They need to know what it is to put a lawnmower in their hand and a weed eater in their hand and a shovel in their hand and babysitting in their hand. And they need to know these girls how to turn on an oven and how to bake for their little 11-year-old brother that's out mowing the lawn. Well, you're stereotyping. Absolutely. I know you'll think it's a cult, but go ahead. I don't know where our teenagers all are, but man, I try to teach them in our high school. Women belong in the kitchen. Thank you very much. That's demeaning. Yeah, you bought into this feminist movement, haven't you? We've had it here 50 years, and we're demasculizing men. Yes, that's what we're doing. And become a feminine man and dominant women. Watch with me. I've been flying for 42 years, every week of my life, almost somewhere. Watch with me at the airport. Who makes the decisions? Saw this big old strapping guy coming up there. Never watched the program. What's the program with the guys that had the beards? And I know what it is. I can't think. What is it? Duck Dynasty. I'm not for it. I'm not against it. I don't know. I was in Washington, D.C., and my son-in-law said, hey, there's that fellow from Duck Dynasty right in front of us. We were walking to a prayer meeting together. But I don't know what it is. It might be fun. It might be great. I don't know what it is. But we live in a day, it seems like it's a masculine thing. I can see women doing that. I'll blow that alligator up. And men be home. I am not suggesting that ladies aren't intelligent. Anybody that has a half a brain will know that a woman is much smarter than a man. Men think out of one side of the brain. Women think out of both. Women are brilliant. They're great. But God designed an order. God did. And God said a man is to be the head of the house. The word head means he's the one that sets the direction. So watch this big old boy go up to the ticket agent, following his wife, following his kids. He stands behind her and he says, yeah, we want this row. She says, no, we don't. We don't want that row. Big old strapping boy. And then she gets all upset with the ticket counter, all ticked off, all burned up, all mad. And then he does a stupid thing, dumb thing, ridiculous thing.
He said, calm down, honey.
I'm calm. You cannot refute what I'm saying. You cannot tell me that you see a lot of masculinity in this world and a lot of femininity. Feminine with women. I tell my wife and I'll play basketball. You know, she's not into this stuff. I'll let him win. On the free throw line, I have to work to beat her, and I train Michael Jordan. I wasn't behind the pulpit when I said that. You noticed that, didn't you? I tell you, we were dating. We'd go bowling. Her mother had passed away, and after a while, her dad started dating, and we were dating at the same time, double date. That's kind of weird, isn't it? But we did. And the three of them were bowlers, and I just believed in work ethic and all that, so I didn't know much about bowling. And we went bowling. I tell you what, she throws a ball down there, and it is a strike. I thought, beginner's luck. Beginner's luck, nothing. I'm thinking, when is she going to throw the game to let, you know, the man win? Never. She'll never give up. She'll put their, the shepherd sustains the flock. I'm 5 minutes over already. He seeks the flock. He sustains the flock. He searches the flock. He saves the flock. Verse 22, he delivers them. He saves them. Salvation. Save your kids. Save whatever you're shepherding. Save that Sunday school class. Save that bus route. He's the shepherd. Verse 23, he watches. He tends. He observes. There's safety for the flock, verse 27 and 28. And there's showers of blessing for the flock. I want you to see that. We'll be done. The Bible says, I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. Shepherds, can you make the place where you reside a blessing? Your workplace, make it a blessing. Make it a blessing where people want to get to come to work to say hi to you. Hey, how you doing? Well, it's raining out there today. What's that about? How you doing? Isn't God good? He gave us rain today. They think I'm a kook. They do already. Look what he says. I will cause the shower to come down in his season. Wait. And there shall be showers of blessing. That's showing me that the shepherd is responsible to bring blessing upon the sheep. I want the ministry that God's entrusted to my care to be full of so many blessings that God showers down because his eyes are running to and fro. 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse number 9, to show himself strong on behalf of those that fear him and love him and that are righteous in his sight. And I want God to be able to say, I can stop right there in Santa Clara. He's not much of a man. He's not this and that, but he loves me, and he loves my Bible, and he loves my sheep, and I want to bless that man. And I believe that God blesses a man, and God's people should get the overflow. I believe that God blesses a husband and wife, and your children get the overflow. Amen. You read Timothy, that's the Bible. You lay up for your children. You take care of your children, their future, and showers of blessing. I got thinking about this week again. My grandparents, my wife's grandparents, they all came into this country from Sweden and from Norway and from Russia, Germany, our families. And they came legal and embraced and assimilated into America. They were born in 1887. What I want to say, when they came to this country, turn of the century, they found themselves a Sunday school and a Sunday morning, and they went to God's house. And all those grandfathers would every Sunday bring their tithes and their offerings. And then our parents did the same. And then we did the same. And then our kids did the same. And all 13 of our grandkids in the house of God this morning, scattered throughout the nation. And our kids have been blessed because of that lady, and hopefully because of their dad. And we were blessed because of our parents and our grandparents. We're going to have to get back in this shepherding business. And this morning, as we in a moment stand and we'll pray, I'm going to ask many of you to come. And if you don't have a place to be a shepherd, I'm not saying we'll give you one this morning. I'm saying will you at least come and kneel and say, God, show me where I'm to shepherd. Show me Is it a little third grade girl? Show me, am I supposed to be in the Sunday school? Am I supposed to, with my life, be on a bus route helping people? I cannot keep up with the calls that come for help. There's no way. Our pastors can't keep up. The deacons do such, Brother Van Dyke, a great job. They can't keep up, and they do a great job. Those 33 men are so busy shepherding and helping. But we need someone else to say, we'll get some help and get you ready. Why don't you go home and shepherd your kids? I know a sweet grandmother today that the kids grew up and were in a good home, and the kids shut grandparents, godly people, out of their lives. The only hope they have now, they can't go see the grandkids. Parents said no. The only hope those dear people have is to get on their knees and beg God to help their grandkids live for God. And be a restrainer against sin and wickedness in the lives of your grandkids that you can't even talk to. Because for some reason, the mother and dad are all upset. Let's bow for prayer, please.